And the Holy Ghost says, go with the flow of the river. Go with the flow of the river. Flow with it. Allow yourself to be caught up in that river and go with the flow, says the Lord. Ibarabasa karabasa karabasa. Ibarabasa. Ubarabasa. And that river is going to overtake us. It's going to overtake the pew. It's going to overtake the passive observer. That river is going to overtake us. And the good thing about that river, everything it touches, it brings life. It brings the very life and nature of Almighty God. Ibarabasa karabasa. Ibarabasa karabasa. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost. Ibarabasa karabasa. Umarabasi karabasa. Umarabasa karabasa karabasa. The river of Almighty God. The river of Almighty God. The river of Almighty God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ibarabasaka. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, you are invited and welcome in our midst tonight. Holy Spirit of God, come and do what only you can do. Come and do what no other power can do. Holy Ghost, we invite you and we welcome you in our midst. In Jesus' name, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Holy Ghost. We love you, Holy Ghost. We love you, Holy Ghost. Our God, mighty God, everlasting Father, our Prince of Peace. Ibarabasa karabasa. Mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Ibarabasa karabasa. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, here's the thing about the river. You may be seated if you can. Here's the thing about the river. There's two things about the river that we need to be keenly aware of. Number one, it brings the very life and nature of God with it. So we need to have our spiritual antennas up and in tune with what the Spirit of God is doing. We need to be more spirit conscious today than ever before. We need to be aware and conscious of what, you know, you've heard it said, do you have your spiritual antennas up? Well, that's part of having your spiritual antennas up, is being spiritually conscious of what the Holy Spirit is doing. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Because God is moving by His Spirit. And when God moves, He breaks down barriers. He breaks down walls. He does what no other power can do. He heals. He restores. And to restore means more. He does what no other power can do. But there's a flip side of that. There is a flip side of that, and it's this. And it's, in one sense of the word, it's a warning. We have to be spiritually in tune to hear what the Spirit of God is doing, but we also need to be spiritually in tune to be on the lookout, because the devil is not going to sit idly by and watch the Spirit of God come in and watch more people be born again, watch hearts be healed, watch relationships be restored, watch marriages be put back together again, watch the prodigals come back home. He's not just going to say, isn't that nice, the folks at Calvary Cathedral International are having a revival. No, that's when the devil is walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And so we have to also be spiritually in tune to that. We have to be aware that that can happen. You know, part of that prophecy, and we read it Wednesday night, and I don't know if we're going to read it again tonight. Don't plan on it, but we'll see what the Holy Ghost wants to do. But, you know, part of that prophecy is that the river is going to take this church into the dark places of our community. You know, there's not too many churches that will go into the dark places. There's not too many churches that will go into these areas that we go into and take the love of God. We go into places. I like what one missionary said a long time ago. I heard him say, we take the gospel where people don't take vacations. We go to places, we go where the devil is. We go and we plunder hell, and we plunder people. We take people out of the clutches of the devil and bring them into the kingdom of God. And the devil doesn't like that, ladies and gentlemen. So I just want to say, when your spiritual antennas are up, listening to the Spirit of God and what He's doing, also remember, put your guard up against the wiles of the devil. Don't let him bring, just what our pastor was saying, don't let him bring offense in. Don't let him bring anything in that would try to cut you out. You know, the devil try to cut you out and take one person, get him off to the side, and then they'll just kind of slide it. Listen, it's all through the Bible. You say, well, how do you know? Look, Gehazi was Elisha's servant. Gehazi saw Elisha do twice as many miracles as Elisha, who served Elijah, twice as many miracles as Elisha saw Elijah do. And Gehazi backslid all the way out of the kingdom of God. It's in the Bible. Judas, for 3 years plus, was with Jesus. And he betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver, $21 in today's monetary system. He betrayed the King of Kings and Lord of Lords for 21 lousy bucks. We've seen it here in Holy Ghost revival. I'm telling you, you can sit on the front row, second row, third row, and backslide right out from under the covering of God, in right in the middle of red-hot Holy Ghost revival. I'm just saying that to say, don't let the devil do it to you. We're not ignorant of his devices. And God has given us the weapons to come against old Slewfoot. I tell you what, we have power and authority over him. I said, we have power and authority over the devil. Praise the Lord. So tonight we want to minister on crying out to God. We want to minister on crying out to God. I was thinking about titling it, I Was There. But we'll get to that in a minute. But I want to minister just for a few minutes on crying out to God. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now, I'm going to lay some groundwork here, because it's groundwork, and it's good groundwork whether we're praying, whether there's revival going on, whether it's a normal day in the kingdom and in the neighborhood, whatever a normal day is. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says this, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly," wholly, not holy, but wholly, your whole person. "And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Notice this verse says, "I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body." He starts on the inside and he works his way to the outside. Many people misquote that. They'll say, and they're not even thinking about it. They say, well, my soul and my body and my spirit, or my body, soul, and spirit. Some people put the body first because they're many people are more body conscious than they are spirit conscious. We've got to become more spirit conscious. natural things to many people mean more to many people than spiritual things. That's why they put the body first. Then other times people will say, well, my soul first, because we live more in the mental realm. But man is a spirit being. We are a spirit. The real us, the inner man, the hidden man of the heart, the real you, the real me. We are a spirit. We have a soul and we live in a body. We are a spirit. We have a soul. Our soul is our mind, our will, our emotions, and we live in this skin, a body. But spiritual things will become more real to us the more spiritual conscious we become. And since we need to be spiritually aware of what's happening in the flow of revival and against the wiles of the devil, we must become more spirit conscious. You say, what does this have to do with crying out to God? I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to get there. I am going somewhere. We must put the spirit first. We must become spirit conscious. We are a spirit. We are spirits. We have a soul, and we live in a body. The spirit, when we are born again, our spirit becomes brand new. It's our inner man that's going to live forever and ever and ever, everlasting life. The hidden man of the heart, that's who becomes a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away and all things become new, and all things are of God. Hallelujah. Knowing that will help you grow spiritually. I say it all the time. I've been saying it for 33 years now, since I was born again, on almost 33 years, Friday, June 7th, 1985. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. Say that after me. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. Say it again. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. Hallelujah. This will help you become more spirit conscious when you say that over and over again. It will help your faith, because the God kind of faith is of the spirit or of the heart. The God kind of faith is not in the physical realm. It's not in the mental realm. It's in the spirit realm. And we, as spirit beings, God has blessed us. God has given us spiritual weapons that we do not fight battles, ladies and gentlemen, the way we used to. We don't. We fight and win battles in the spirit realm. We fight and win battles in the spirit realm. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly or in this natural realm, but the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, God has equipped us to fight and win battles in the spirit. God did this by giving us spiritual weapons. What did He give us? He gave us His name. My goodness. The name that's above every name. He gave us the name of Jesus. He gave us His word. His word is quick. It's alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. He gave us His blood. And the blood hasn't, praise God, the blood has not lost any of its power. It still saves today. It still heals. It still heals today. He's given us spiritual weapons. The name, the word, the blood, His precious Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Shikarabasa karabasa. Somebody ought to shout on that. Hallelujah. He's given us the power of prayer. We have access unto God. Now the veil is rent. We don't have to go through this person or that. We can go right to God. Hallelujah. And on and more. We have the keys to the kingdom. We have the power to overcome any obstacle. Richard, put Ephesians chapter 6 up, verses 10 through 18. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Not our might, His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now listen, look at this verse. Praying always, wow, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. See, it's not just going to fall on us like ripe cherries. With all perseverance and supplication for all saints. He says, pray always with all prayer in the Spirit. James chapter 5, verse 16, I'm going to give the amplified of this. The last part of that verse says, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man. How many righteous do we have in here tonight? How many are the righteousness of God in Christ? The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. And then in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, Jesus said it this way. Jesus said that men or believers ought always to pray and not to faint. Our pastor has always said that if you know how to pray in a Bible way and you will do it, there's a key. There's a bunch of keys, but you got to do it. Remember the Nike commercial, just do it? Pastor says if you know how to pray in a Bible way and you will do it, nothing will be impossible to you. Prayer is the basis for everything we do. Prayer is God's way for us as believers to live the abundant life. I like what Billy Graham said. Towards the end of his life, Billy Graham said the one thing they asked him, what would you change or do differently if you had to do your life all over again? And he said, the one thing I would do is I would have prayed more. In other words, I would have talked to God more. I would have spent more time talking to God. And you know, it's not just talking to God, but it's sitting in His presence quietly listening to God. That's where that discipline comes in. That's not easy to do in today's society. It's not easy to do when you have children. It's not easy to do when you have you know, Pastor was talking about it this morning. He said, you know, we've become taxi drivers for children. No, I mean, seriously. We're running here, we're running there, and if we're not running, we're on the mighty cell phone. And it's like, we must take time to hear from God. Not just talk to God, but hear from God. So, let me go over a couple of kinds of prayer, then we're going to get to where we're going. There's many different kinds of prayer. I'm just going to name a few. I'm not going to really go through it. Just name a few. There's the prayer of faith. The prayer of purpose that brings desired results. The prayer of faith. There's number two, there's the prayer of consecration and dedication, where you pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Jesus in the garden. Not my will, O God, but thy will be done. Number three, there's the prayer of commitment. There's the prayer of commitment. It's casting your cares upon the Lord. Man, wow. What a great, great prayer. I really battled with that. And I remember when the weight, even after I was born again, went off of me from carrying cares. It's never come back. You remember where we were? Yeah. Hallelujah. I was in a swimming pool. And it had been rough on me. Yeah, remember that? And I was just, I was praying, casting all my cares upon him because he cares for us. God, I cast that care on. Anyway, it's the prayer of commitment. There's the prayer of praise and worship, where you're just loving him. Loving on Jesus and thanking him for his goodness and appreciating him and exalting his name and magnifying him. You know, prayer gets you into a position where you can receive from God. There's the prayer of agreement, where two or three of you agree in prayer according to the Word of God. You know what? The Bible says one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. So you just multiply that out. There's intercessory prayer, that unselfish prayer, praying for others. There's united prayer. That's a group of people praying in the same direction. That's why it's so powerful to pray, like on a Monday night or when Pastor calls those special prayer times, like on Wednesday, we had that at noon. And you're all praying in the same direction. Man, there's power in that. Remember in Acts 4:31, they prayed, said God, they released them from jail, and they said, they were all praying, God grant us boldness. And man, he granted them boldness, and the place was shaken. Hallelujah. So there's united prayer. And then there's the prayer of crying out to God. Just crying out to God, calling on God. You know, when you read through the Word and you see crying out to God and calling on God, a lot of times that the words cry and call are used interchangeably. So you, not all the time, but a lot of times they are. Crying out to God. All throughout Scripture, believers cried out to God. In every kind of situation imaginable. Matter of fact, if you take Bible college and you take pastor's prayer class, you will get to write six places down in the Bible where they cried out to God. Who cried out, what the situation was, and what the results were. Amen. That's one of his assignments. Hallelujah. I've never forgotten it. It's awesome. Psalm 34:17, the righteous cry and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles. Woo! Hallelujah. Psalm 56, verse 9, when I cry unto you, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is with me. Hallelujah. Nehemiah chapter 9. God saw the affliction of our fathers in Egypt and heard their cry by the Red Sea and divided the sea before them. So they went through in the midst of the sea on dry land. He heard their cry. I'm telling you, a cry will divide the sea for you. If he did it for them, he'll do it for us, ladies and gentlemen. He'll do it for you. Psalm 145, 19, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The 2 Chronicles 13, 15, the men of Judah gave a shout, and as the men of Judah shouted, it came to pass that God smote Jeroboam and all Israel. I'm telling you, he will come against your enemies when you cry out to God. And on, the Bible is literally full of scriptures where God's people cried out to him, and then he delivered them. I mean, when he starts parting the Red Sea, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let me tell you what a cry is, and then Lori is going to share some biblical examples. The Bible defines a cry literally as to shriek, to announce publicly, to cry out, to call aloud, not quiet. Not quiet. To call aloud. A cry is a fervent expression of faith in God. A cry is an expression of trusting in God that he will act on your behalf. Wow. A cry is an act of... Am I going too fast? Because I see a lot of you taking notes. A cry is an act of changing focus from the situation to Jesus. Or in other words, from the problem to the answer. Ladies and gentlemen, a cry is an act of humility. It's acknowledging that you don't have the answer, or you can't seem to overcome. It's acknowledging God. It's humbling. God delights in the person that humbly seeks his help. I love this scripture, Psalm 9, verse 12. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Wow. That's pretty awesome right there. Now, these next two are kind of where I was on Friday, June 7th, 1985. A cry is unconditional surrender. When a situation becomes so desperate that only God can deliver you, a cry represents total unconditional surrender. It's not bargaining with God. It's not, if you'll do this, I'll do that. It is a time to put your life in his hands. A cry is a plea for mercy. A time when the only thing left to do is to cry out for God for mercy. When I cried out to God in my car on Friday, June 7th, 1985 at 1:35 in the afternoon and said, God, forgive me for ruining my life, I did not say it like that. Understand, I was in anguish. I was near death in my physical body. And at the time, if I hadn't have called out to God, I would have been eternally damned. I didn't really know all that, but I knew that I was sick, 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 and needed help. And I cried out to God. I said, God, forgive me. Forgive me for ruining my life. And I meant it. And I still mean it with every fiber of my being. I cried out and I wept. And God divided the Red Sea for me. And what He does for one, He'll do for another. He is no respecter of persons. But I cried out because I was through. Understand, my life was through. Now I can't see my notes. I was through. And God heard my cry. God hears your cry. The arm of the Lord is not short that it cannot save, neither is His ear heavy that it cannot hear. He hears your heart's cry. He hears your cry. He knows right where you are, and He hears your cry. Lamentations 3, verses 22 through 23 says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. A cry is faith in God's power. Your cry to God acknowledges His ability to do what no other power can do. No other person, no other power. It acknowledges God. There's no other way out but God. During the storm on the Sea of Galilee, the disciples acknowledged Jesus' power to rescue them when they cried out, Lord, save us, we perish. A cry is an act of desperation. Crying out to God is an admission of one's need for God. Lori?
God raised up a deliverer for Israel because God heard the cry of His people. And that deliverer was Moses. Hallelujah. In Exodus 3, Moses saw a burning bush and he turned aside to see. And when God saw that Moses turned aside to see, then He called him by name. And He went on to tell him that He said, I have seen the affliction of my people and I have heard their cry. And I know their sorrows. Hallelujah. So God responds to the cry of His children after 400 years of bondage there, and He sends Moses back to Egypt as the deliverer. Amen? God's ears are tuned in to the cries of His people.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
There was a man whose heart was broken for his nation. So he cried out to God for restoration of the land. That was Nehemiah. Nehemiah was heartbroken when he heard that the walls of Jerusalem were torn down and that all the gates were burned with fire. Nehemiah wept. He mourned. He fasted. He prayed. He repented for the sins of Israel. Nehemiah returns to Israel to build and to restore. He restored the priesthood. He restored the feast days. And all the people repented. There was even a day there in Jerusalem where they heard the word of God standing up for 6 hours. Yeah. And then for the next 6 hours, they praised the Lord. They had a mighty revival.
Hallelujah.
In Jerusalem. It was a great cry that brought a great restoration and a great revival to the nation of Israel. There was a man whose last prayer delivered a nation, the nation of Israel. That was Samson.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. An angel appeared to Samson's mother and told her that your son is going to be a Nazarite unto God and be a deliverer for Israel from the Philistines, from the womb to the day of his death.
Wow.
Judges 13. The Spirit of God was upon Samson. He judged Israel for 20 years. Then he met Delilah, who deceived him. The Philistines trapped him, put out his eyes, bound him with fetters, made him to grind in the prison house. You know, in the natural, it was all over for Samson. But one day, the Philistines were celebrating and sacrificing to their god, Dagon, and they called for Samson to make fun of him, to mock him. The house was full, and all of the leaders of the Philistines were there, plus 3,000 people. You know, it's never too late to cry out to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Never too late. Samson prayed one more prayer. Judges 16:28. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Samson was standing between two pillars. These two pillars just so happened held up that whole auditorium or whatever it is, one of the cathedrals or
amphitheater.
Whatever. That's what I was looking for. And so he puts his hands on those pillars, right? And he says another prayer. He said, Lord, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they that he slew in his life. Hallelujah. The results, because Samson was willing to die for his nation, he cried out to God, and God restored his strength to deliver the nation of Israel.
Hallelujah.
That was the end of the Philistines.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah. There was a man with a supernatural shout to take back the nation of Israel. Joshua. Hallelujah. God said, can you see it, Joshua? For I have given you the land.
Hallelujah.
I have given you Jericho.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That word shout there, he said to shout with a great shout. And that shout means breaking. It means to split the ears with sound.
Hallelujah.
It means to destroy and to triumph. That's a supernatural shout, amen? Hallelujah. When the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the great shout, well, the walls of Jericho fell. Hallelujah. There's a supernatural shout that will bring down any wall, amen? Yes. And we're commissioned, amen, to possess the land that God has given unto us. Hallelujah. The results were they were able to go in and possess all the land of Israel.
Hallelujah.
There was a man with a revival cry that changed the nation of Israel. And that was Joel. The first chapter of Joel describes a great famine in the land. Joel says to, then he said, blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm. This is a wake-up call to the nation. Amen? It was a cry for God's help. Then there was a call to repentance. Then it talks about restoration and bountifulness in the land. Then there was a great harvest in the land.
Hallelujah.
Then Joel prophesies the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. And even today, Joel 2:21, he says, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord shall do great things.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So God brought a mighty revival, hallelujah, in the land through Joel. There was a man who went to a city to cry out for repentance, which they did. Jonah. Wickedness had come up before God from Nineveh. So God sent Jonah to cry out for the city of Nineveh. Jonah did that, but first he had to cry out for his own self because he was in the belly of the fish. So first that cry, and then he got to cry out for Nineveh. What was the revival in Nineveh all about? 120,000 souls.
Hallelujah.
Heard. Hallelujah. The good news. Glory to God. We must cry out to God for our cities.
Yes.
Hallelujah. He will hear and answer our cry. Just like he did then, he does today.
Yes.
God has a plan for our cities. Amen.
Yes.
And God will heal our cry and deliver our cities. There was a man who was anointed king of Israel because of the cry of the people. King Saul, the first king of Israel. 1 Samuel 9:16, God raised up Saul to deliver Israel from the Philistines because God heard the cry of Israel. God told Samuel to anoint Saul to be captain over the people of Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people because their cry is coming to me. You know, it's interesting that even though this was not God's perfect will for Israel, he gave them the desire of their heart because they cried out to him. Amen. God is a gracious God.
Yes.
Amen. You know, there was a man with a cry for mercy that changed his life. That was blind Bartimaeus. Hallelujah.
Yep.
You know, if you want to get God's attention, hallelujah, cry out to God like blind Bartimaeus did. He said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Hallelujah. You know, that stopped Jesus in his tracks, didn't it? The people around him tried to tell him to be quiet, but he just kept right on going. Jesus, thou son of God, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And he wouldn't have stopped either, amen, until he saw Jesus respond to him, until Jesus called for him. You know, there was a miracle. There are miracles waiting when you cry out in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. He kept crying out until Jesus called for him. There was a man with a death sentence who cried out to God, and he was healed, and his city was delivered.
Wow.
It's Hezekiah. Pastor says prayer changes things. Hallelujah. Hezekiah was sick unto death. Isaiah the prophet told him to get your house in order because you're going to die. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and cries out to God and wept. Before Isaiah could even get off the property, God tells him to go back, tell Hezekiah, I have heard your prayer, and I have seen your tears, and I will heal you. I will give you 15 more years, and I will deliver you and this city from the king of Assyria.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hezekiah didn't even ask for 15 years, did he? Or ask to be delivered from his enemies. Hallelujah. But it all came to pass. Hallelujah. Pastor calls that a wall prayer. That's a serious prayer when you turn your face to the wall. Amen. God can deliver you from things that you don't even know about.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God raised up a man to deliver Israel from their enemies through a dream given to the enemy. Gideon. Hallelujah. Judges 6, the children of Israel cried out to God because of the Midianites. They were oppressing them. They were stealing from them. All the Midianites and all the otherites were gathered together against Israel. Hallelujah. It says they were without number.
Wow.
Wow. Gideon gathered 32,000 men, but God told him, no, that's too many. So he pares it down to 300. God said, by the 300 men, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. God said, go, for I have delivered them into your hand. God gives a dream to a Midianite. He sees a loaf of barley bread tumble down a hill and go into one of their tents, and it destroyed the tent. Wow. So this man tells everybody what he saw, and he said that this was the sword of Gideon. And into Gideon's hand, God has delivered all of us. Wow. So Gideon, though, he's divided his group into three groups. So they go into the land, and they cry the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, and they blow trumpets, and all of a sudden, all of the ites start killing each other.
Hallelujah.
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 Mm.
Hallelujah.
Wow. Do it again.
Do it again, Lord.
A supernatural miracle, because the nation of Israel, again, cried out to God. Hallelujah.
Shibarabasa.
And God still hears our cry and delivers the nations today. Amen.
Ibarabasa.
You know, there was a woman who was willing to die for the life of her nation.
Oh, yes.
Esther. Hallelujah. The nation of Israel was facing a Holocaust. There was a call to pray and fast. Esther had to step out in faith and trust God. She was willing to give her life for the life of her nation. She said, "If I perish, I perish." Hallelujah. The call to fast and pray went out to the whole nation of Israel. What happened? A miracle for the entire nation of Israel. There was no Holocaust. The nation of Israel was delivered from the wicked plan of Haman, amen, who died on the gallows that he built for Mordecai.
Wow.
Hallelujah. Him and his whole family. Hallelujah. Is there not a cause?
Yeah.
Yes. The life of our nation.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You know, there was a woman who received a miracle for her daughter because of a cry for mercy. The Syrophoenician woman. She was a woman of Canaan, so she was not Jewish, but she knew who Jesus was. She cried unto Jesus, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." Jesus didn't answer her, and the disciples wanted her to leave. She could have gotten offended. Hallelujah. But she would have left without her miracle. Then she worships Jesus and said, "Lord, help me." Jesus said, "It's not meet for me to give the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." Again, she could have got offended, but she would have left without her miracle. She said, "True, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Hallelujah. Jesus said, "O woman, great is thy faith.
Hallelujah.
Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." Hallelujah. Her great faith, amen, and persistence to cry for mercy delivered her daughter.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, you know what? We must pray and seek the Lord, cry out to the Lord while we can.
While we can.
Glory to God. John 9:4 said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man could work." Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God hears your cry. God hears our cry. I want you to know I was there. I was there when Pastor cried out to God for a nation. God not only hears our personal cries for our families and for what we're believing God for personally, but he hears the cry for a nation, for a city, for revival, for nations of the world, for our leaders. I was there. I was there that night. You see, when your spiritual antennas are up, there's a difference between talking and just saying something and a cry in the spirit. And you can spiritually discern that cry in the spirit. And that night in Miracle Center Cathedral, when it was under construction, you know, Pastor went there before I did, but in 1997, I went to Miracle Center Cathedral when it was still a tin roof around a tree, had a small, tiny platform with old linoleum on it. And it was the same Holy Ghost But it was just a small little outcropping, little work. But they began to, God began to move. And I saw Pastor stand on the platform. It was dark. It was a night service. There weren't a whole lot of people there, but there were some. There were 500, 1,000, maybe 1,500, which is not many compared to what they have today, I guess I should say. And the building was under construction. And Pastor administered that morning and that night. And after Pastor ministered that night, Pastor Kanja came back and began to minister or say some things to the congregation. And Pastor backed up. Now, you got to understand, this is like a huge building with girders everywhere and steel girders. And it's just rough flooring and you can't see anything and the sound wasn't real good. And there's plastic hanging from light bars. I don't know what the plastic was for, maybe to cover it up from the rain. But, I mean, it was a wild scene is all I can say. And Pastor backs up, and he stands there in this dark of Africa. And we might have been the only two white people there. And Pastor begins to cry out to God while Pastor Kanja is up towards the front. And Pastor begins to cry out for a revival in that nation of Uganda. He begins to cry out for Pastor Kanja and that church. He begins to cry out for a move of the Holy Spirit. Had Uganda seen that in the past? Yes. Were there other people that had prayed? Yes. But how many know some plant, some water, and God gives the increase? And you got to understand, this is right after 97. It might have been 98, 99. And you got to understand, there wasn't Christian TV. There wasn't Christian there. I mean, ours was the first television station, private television station license given since Idi Amin in that nation. We were the first, and we were Christian. There were only four other channels, and they were all government channels, or I think a little secular channel, and they were on sporadically during the day, but none of them were on all night. One of them tried to be on all night. But we go in there. Calvary Cathedral, meaning we, goes in there as the owner of Lighthouse Television, and erects that, and Mike Magnuson and the great work, and all of a sudden the gospel is going forth 24/7, and there's Pastor in the dark of night in this wild setting crying out for revival in Uganda, and revival in that church, and revival there. And I mean, he's crying out. His voice is lifted. God, send revival. Send revival to this nation, oh God. Jesus is Lord over Uganda. Send revival. Send an awakening to this nation, oh God. And all of a sudden the place got silent and all you could hear was Pastor. And spiritually it was a cry in the spirit. And shortly after that, we went back. And you've heard my a testimony that when we first went there from the airport in Entebbe to you drive into Kampala, it was wherever there was commercial, it was just lined both sides of the street with coffin makers. And they had the little shops and they would step the coffin up like that, and you would drive by and you would see different coffins. I'll take that one or that, you know, I mean, coffins. That's all you saw. That's it. There weren't dresses, weren't nail shops, hair shops, clothes shops. It was coffins. And we went back after he started crying out for a revival in that nation. And I want you to know that the coffin makers are gone. The coffin makers were gone. You drove into the city center which is just people everywhere, masses of people everywhere, cars going everywhere, just, and you drive into the city center and there's people everywhere on the streets preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You go into the market and the hotels and and everywhere you go, and there is positive peer pressure to be a born again Christian. There's not attacks on Christians. It's not like they make fun of Christians in the United States. It's not like there is positive peer pressure for you to be born again and preach the gospel. We ought to give God praise for that. I'm telling you.
Hallelujah.
The cry. God hears the cry of one man, and corporately. I mean, the nation was radically changed. Radically changed. Radically changed. Jesus is Lord over Uganda. It was amazing. And I was there. Like Brother Dale was talking about last Sunday morning, I was there. I heard the cry. I knew it was a cry in the spirit. Man, it was piercing the darkness. It was like the darkness was thick, and it was like a sword just going through the darkness saying, revival to Uganda. Jesus is Lord over Uganda. Jesus is Lord. Holy Spirit, come. Have a mighty moving, oh God. The result was revival in that nation.
Yes. What was the result?
Revival
yes.
in
God
that nation.
God answered prayer.
God
Hallelujah.
Answered
he
prayer.
Heard the cry of our pastor
he
in
did.
Uganda.
He
yes.
Did.
And answered prayer.
Ladies and gentlemen, he hears your cry. He hears our cry. Whatever it is you're facing today, he hears your cry. His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. He hears your cry. Whether it's financial, whether it's your business, whether it's your ministry, whether it's your family, your children, whatever it is, he hears your cry right now. He hears your cry. Let's stand up right now and pray in the Holy Ghost. He hears the cry of his people. He hears the cry of his people. He hears the cry of his people. Come on now, cry out to God tonight. Cry out to God tonight. Oh, yakaya, 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 yakaya,
God says, continue to cry because you're crying out for the soul of this nation. Don't stop. You're crying out for the soul of this nation and for the nations of the world.
Cry out for our nation.
Oh, we thank you, God. You hear the cry of your people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. For miracles. Miracles. Thank you, God, for a great awakening in the United States of America. Hallelujah. Nothing impossible with God. Hallelujah. Oh, revive us again. Revive us again, O Lord. Hallelujah. Revive us again, O Lord. That thy people may rejoice in thee. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for the spirit of revival in this house. Thank you, God, for the spirit of revival in our nation. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. For the spirit of God. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. You hear the cry of your people. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. For changing nations, for changing cities, for delivering your people. Hallelujah. All because of a cry. Thank you, Jesus, for setting the captives free. Just because of a cry. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for setting the nations free. Because of a cry. Glory to God. Jesus Christ is Lord over the United States of America. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, God, that your glory is increasing in this house, in this city, and in this nation. Hallelujah. I thank you, God, for a great awakening, because the river is rising. The river is rising. Hallelujah.
Lift your voice. God wants to hear your voice. Cry out to God. He wants to hear your voice. Pray for your nation. Pray for a mighty moving of God's Spirit.
You're raising up people even in this room to stand up and take public offices in this city and in this nation. God, I thank you you're preparing your church, you're preparing your people, hallelujah, to stand up, hallelujah, and to stand in certain offices in this land, in this city, and in our nation. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. There must be righteousness.
hallelujah, ruling in the fear of God. We speak the fear of God over our nation. We speak the fear of God over Washington, D.C. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the spirit of truth, the spirit of truth in Washington, the spirit of truth in our cities. Hallelujah. The spirit of truth in our judicial system. Hallelujah. I see chariots of fire. Hallelujah. I see chariots of fire encamped around about Washington, D.C. Hallelujah. I see chariots of fire encamped around about the cities of our nation. Hallelujah. We say, devil, you can't have our cities in the name of Jesus. Devil, you can't have our children in the name of Jesus. Devil, you can't have our cities in the name of Jesus and our school districts in the name of Jesus. The river is flowing. The river of God, the river of life is going to flow into our cities, going to flow into our school districts. Hallelujah. The river of life, hallelujah, is flowing to turn it around for a testimony of the power of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Shikarabosa holiday samba. We cancel the spirit of darkness in our cities. We stand against it. We speak the very life and the very light of God, the glory of God to fill our cities in the name of Jesus. We cancel. We stand against the spirit of anarchy and the spirit of perversion and the spirit of corruption that's in our land. We say, no, devil, you are not going to operate in our cities and in our schools in the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord over our cities. Jesus is Lord over our schools. Jesus is Lord over our courtrooms in the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Shikarada Bosa Hole. Andalaya Sahe. Haladia Sahe. Ayakama Holadia Shamba. Oladia Kaheya Sayase. Oladia Sahe. We speak the blood of Jesus over these elections coming up. Hallelujah. God, we speak righteousness. We speak miracles because you're raising up people to stand in these offices and they're righteous people. Hallelujah. That speak the truth. Hallelujah. And they will not be tainted by the lies and the corruption in D.C. because they know the truth. Hallelujah. They know the truth and they will speak the truth and they are protected and they will be kept by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Shikarada baso holiday sha. Under baso holiday ka. Miracles. Miracles in our land. Miracles. Hallelujah. In this election coming up, God. Hallelujah. Shikarada baso holiday asunda. Olani kia se ase. Hallelujah. So holiday asa. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Over our states. Hallelujah. Every state. Because he's called every state, hallelujah, to publish the gospel of Jesus Christ, hallelujah. Not one will be left out. Not one will be left out. Shikarabaso. Jesus is Lord over every state, hallelujah. Shikarabaso holiyasa. Andoboso holiya shibasanda. Olaniya shahaya. O sakia saladiya komaho. Shikarabaso.
Thank you, Jesus. Get that down there. Get one down there. Barabasa, Carabasa, Carabasa. Oh, Marabasa, Carabasa. Now, there is an anointing for prayer and crying out to God. And there's an anointing for prayer and crying out to God to see miracles in your life, my life, our families, our ministries, our businesses. And that anointing comes from this house. It comes from this house, and it comes from the head, and it flows down to us. It comes through Pastor Bob and Joy Nichols. And you can receive that anointing, and you'd say, well, somebody might say, well, he's got issues. It's the same thing they said about Jesus. See, there's always a stumbling block, ladies and gentlemen. There's always a stumbling block. Just like with Jesus. Well, we know Jesus. His sister and his brother, we know them. Who is this? It's the carpenter's son. Or he was born in a manger. That was another stumbling block. You know, we want our king. Man, he needs to be born in the palace, not some stinking manger. There's an anointing in this house for prayer, for intercession, for crying out to God to create miracles in your house. And if you look and say, well, Pastor has some challenges in his house. See, that's getting over in the natural. That's when we lose focus of the Spirit and we get over in the natural. We can't do that because there's an anointing right here. And you can receive that. It would be easy to lay hands on people and say, receive that. But you can receive it right where you are right now by faith in Jesus' name. You can receive that same anointing to see miracles in your own house. Father, I receive that right now in the name of Jesus. I receive that miracle anointing. I receive that prayer anointing, that calling out to God anointing, that anointing to see miracles in my house. I receive it by faith. I believe I receive it right now when I pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, God has given us a window of opportunity. He has placed each and every one of us here for such a time as this. And He needs our voice. God needs our voice. I'm not talking about Pastor, even though, yes, God needs our voice. He needs our voice. He needs our faith. He needs our prayers to change our families, to change our situations, to change our nation, to change our city, and to change ever-living, never-dying souls for eternity. He needs our voice. As Dr. Vaughn wrote, Jesus needs a body. But we must stay in the Spirit as we do this. Because, ladies and gentlemen, it's harvest time. I said it's harvest time. Jesus is coming back. I don't know when, but He's coming back, and He's coming back soon. And it's harvest time. There's going to be a great harvest. And we're going to be a part of that harvest. I said we're going to be a part of that harvest. We're going to see that harvest. Pray for us, Lori. Pray for us. Pray for all of us right now.
Father, again, we thank You for the anointing that's in this house. Father, we thank You for the spirit of prayer that's in this house. We thank You for the spirit of faith that's in this house. We thank You, God, for the spirit of miracles, signs and wonders in this house, God. Hallelujah. And Father, we just pray right now. There's a spirit of prayer in this house. Glory to God. And Father, we release
this spirit of prayer in this house now in the name of Jesus. We release it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The spirit of prayer. When the Holy Ghost nudges you to prayer and you know it, you need to pray. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And it'll increase and it'll increase and it'll increase. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for the spirit of prayer that we have received from our pastor, God. We thank you that there is impartations right now. Hallelujah. For those that want it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The spirit of prayer.
Hallelujah.
Released.
Hallelujah.
In this house. Hallelujah.
Just say, I receive it.
Just
say, I receive it.
I receive it.
Just say, I receive it.
I receive it.
I take it.
I take it.
I take it.
It's mine.
It's mine. It's mine. It's mine.
In Jesus' name. The Holy Ghost.
Amen.
God,
amen.
We just agree with the disciples what they pray. Boldness.
Boldness.
Hallelujah. Boldness to speak his word was their cry. Amen. Father, we just release that in this house. Boldness by the Holy Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Boldness to speak the word and to stretch forth our hand so that signs and wonders would be done in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
So, Father, we thank you for greater manifestations. Hallelujah. Of signs and wonders and miracles in this house. Greater, hallelujah, because the river's rising.
The river's
glory
rising.
To God. We're going
the
from glory
rising.
To glory. We're
hallelujah.
Going from faith to faith. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Out
hallelujah.
Of your belly will flow rivers.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Rivers of living water.
For the
and this spake he of the Spirit.
For the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this house I will give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Thank you, God. Come on, give Jesus a big hand clap of praise. Yes, hold steady just one moment. Yes, Alma.
It was about 8:30, and the word came, and the Lord said, the spirit of fear has left this house.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. No more fear. No fear here in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Pastor, hallelujah. Thank you, sir. God bless you.
Well, there's just a powerful new release of the Holy Spirit of God in this house. Amen. Hallelujah. Just before we go, can we sing it? Oh, to be God's hand extended, reaching out to thee, oppressed. Oh, let me touch him. Let me touch Jesus, so that others to be God's hand extended, reaching out to me, oppressed. Oh, let me touch him, let me. Yeah. Well, go with God. Go with God. Let's have a Holy Ghost week. Amen. God bless you.